On the wireless communication CD-ROM, our guest is Professor Jim Messi, who is quite famous for his work in various areas, including cryptography and random access. Today we are talking about random access issues, and Jim, the common perception is that if you have a random access channel, you do need feedback, but that's not always true.
No, that's right, Jean-Paul, and it was the realization that one could avoid the use of feedback that suddenly dawned on me. It was probably about 1980 or 1981. And the idea, of course, is that if, as in the Aloha system, you have a collision of packets and they destroy one another, it seems like somehow the senders must learn about this and somehow repeat their packet so that it eventually gets through. But, of course, that's not really the case, because one can code the packets in such a way that their loss doesn't prevent the receiver from reconstructing those packets. And, in fact, you can do it in such a way that you can guarantee transmission. So let me illustrate this with an idea. To do this, I introduced the notion of protocol sequences, which to me were sequences that described a sequence of consecutive slots where a user could send or not send a packet. So suppose I'm the first user and my protocol sequence is 1100. This means that when I go to send a packet, I send it in the first slot, I repeat it in the second slot, and then I leave two slots idle. Now suppose the second user of the system has as a protocol sequence 1010. Which means that when he goes to send a packet, he sends that packet, then is silent for a slot, then sends that packet a second time, then is silent for a slot. And I assume these sequences are being used repetitively so that, for example, I will send a packet twice, be silent two slots, then send a new packet twice, be silent for two slots, and so on. The other user will send a packet, be silent a slot, send it, be silent a slot, then take his second packet, send it, be silent the slot, send the second packet a second time, be silent for his slot, and so on. Now, what happens in this case is that regardless of the synchronization of the users, you will always have one collision. Like here, you'll get a collision in the first slot if the two sequences are in frame synchronization. You'll get a success from user one in the, that's me, in the second slot. So I'll say success user 1. We'll get a success from user 2 in the third slot, and then we'll get an idle third slot. Now, we can recognize my success from the second user's success because my success is next to the collision, and it always will be because my two packets are always together. User 2's slot is separated from the collision. By it's got an idle slot on one side and a success on the other. And his packet can be recognized. Now, the same holds true regardless of the relative phasing of the two protocol sequences. For example, if user's two sequence starts in the second slot where my protocol sequence starts, then, of course, there would be things from previous packets. So my first packet would coincide with the idle slot of user 1's previous transmission, previous synchronization frame, or previous protocol frame. And the user 2's last packet in this protocol frame would coincide with the next packet of my next slot. And again, if we look to see what has happened now in these this situation, you see we get the collision again. If I'm looking at it from the point of view of myself, a success in the first slot for me, an idle, a success in the second slot for user two. Of course, now down here in the next one, there'll be another success for me in the next frame, or going back here, there'll be that. But again, my success is next to the collision, and user two's success is separated from the collision. So we can do it. And you can do this forever. Now, in this case, the throughput is a total of two packets from the two users every four slots. So one half packet per slot. Now, here I've drawn everything as if it's completely synchronized, but you can remove that synchronization requirement very easily, and you don't require even bit synchronization. The assumption only that you always use is that when packets overlap whatsoever, they destroy one another in a way that can be recognized at the receiver, so that you can identify a collision, and that otherwise, if they do not overlap at all, that you get the packet through correctly.